You've been transported to a brand new world, and the skill that you've been granted is online grocery shopping. Well, it's time to break out those recipe books and pull out your favorite dishes, because we got some familiars to feed today. This week, we're talking about campfire cooking in another world with my absurd skill. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
Hey guys, it's Seth again. It's time to get ready, buckle in, don't touch that power button, because it's time for a Sethware update.
I'm excited to talk about this anime. It's kind of become one of my go-to comfort shows to just throw on in the background, so I'm really...
Really?
I don't know. Is that good or bad, really?
I don't know. It's my first slice of life. I had a lot to learn.
Well, I'm excited to see what your thoughts are, or I'm more curious to find out. So let's dive into the recipes we have for this week. First up, for our food item, we have rock bird teriyaki. This is a slow cooker recipe, so it's a honey teriyaki chicken. So chicken thighs, onion, garlic, soy sauce, honey and ginger, and serve this over some warm rice. Next up, we have the cocktail. It's Sui's Healing Potion. This cocktail has vodka, blue curacao, simple syrup, and hard seltzer. And lastly, our mocktail for the week is Ninrir's Blessing. Lemon lime soda, white grape juice, and vanilla syrup. Not vanilla extract, everyone. This is vanilla syrup. So if anyone makes these at home, we would love to see them. So please tag us at Anime Bento Pod. Now, let's jump into the show. Okay, everyone, this is a really long title, so I have to look at it again before I start, or else I'll get confused. Okay. Campfire cooking in another world with my absurd skill. We follow along Makota, who is accidentally summoned to a fantasy kingdom alongside three actual chosen heroes. While they get flashy holy swords and elemental magic, Makota's unique skill is online grocery shopping. Basically, he has access to a magical Amazon-style interface where he can buy modern food, spices, and cookware. As soon as he sets out on his journey, his cooking is so good that he accidentally attracts a legendary giant godlike wolf creature, Fel, and adorable slime Sui. It is a low-stakes, high-carb adventure. There is no looming demon lord or world-ending threat, just a man trying to manage his budget while his overpowered dog demands more Wagyu beef. Warning to everyone, do not watch the show on an empty stomach. Campfire Cooking in Another World with My Absurd Skill debuted in 2023, and you can watch this on Crunchyroll. Okay, now the true spoiler warning. The truth is revealed ahead. This section contains spoilers that will reveal character backstories and future plot points. Continue only if you're ready to face the truth. Okay, Seth, now we got all the stuff out of the way. I'm ready to hear it.
Wow. So this show was, it's very different anime than I'm used to. You know, I like to watch the action style. It has big plot lines, has big character development points. This is my first slice of life. So I had to kind of figure out what's going on in these slice of life anime styles. What am I looking for? What's my standard? And so I think it had some good quality pacing. I think it didn't try to rush through too much. There were some of the dungeons, they're very overpowered. So some of these things are very easy for them. But I think from point A to point B, it had a nice little pace to it. Lots of laughs at it all the way throughout it. Again, it wasn't very action-y at some points. There were some good action elements, but, every episode of a normal anime, I'm kind of looking, what's that big fight? What's that big action point? But I had so much more enjoyment and just some of the cooking experiences in some of this than I did the action parts of it. So that was interesting to me. But also, you kind of mentioned it, the variety of the characters. We have this normal human guy who... it's just normal. He's just very average, very plain Jane. And then you have this giant godlike wolf who only wants to devour the most delicious meals. We have this little talking blob named Suey, who just sounds like a little baby child and as adorable as can be. And then we ended up with this little pixie dragon named Dora, who was also hilarious, had a very spunky nature to it. So honestly, I enjoyed the variety of the characters and these recipes. Like, I actually felt like I could follow along with some of these if I wanted to. And really, it's just the foodie in me wants to try them all. So it was very interesting to me.
Oh, nice. Oh, you jumped into season two.
No, I don't think so. Dora's on the first season.
No, we don't meet Dora until the episode one of season two.
Are you sure? This little pixie dragon thing?
Yeah.
Did I just watch all of season two instead?
Wait, did you not watch season one?
let me go back on Crunchyroll and see what I just did here. Because
I was excited when the dragon came out season two.
Well, let's see here. Work for me, Crunchyroll type words. Yeah, I don't know. I got all season one on here.
Did you roll into season two?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Somehow I think I just watched season two. Season one all shows watched, but I don't know that I remember any of that.
Oh.
So we might get to experience it from a different angle, and that's okay. That's hilarious, actually. I've been watching this whole show, and I'm just thinking, oh, I'm enjoying it from the beginning, trying to figure out, well, I don't know how Fel really got here, but... Wow. Well, that would explain some of the confusion on how these characters got here, but hey, I'm along for the ride, so let's do it.
Well, okay. Spoiler warning, everyone. Season one and two now. We're talking about it all. Seth might be a little off, but we got this.
Well, the characters look about the same, so I should be able to keep up.
Yeah, we basically have the same crew. Oh, you missed out Lambert, though.
I did.
You must
I
be like, who is
like,
Lambert? Like, who is that guy?
I'm thinking this guy must be a guildmaster. I don't know.
Well, on that note, let's jump into the characters. So, first up, we have Makota. So, I love Makota. I love that he has decided that he just wants to... He doesn't want to go back to his original world. And I also want to say, like... I don't know. People have been saying, like, this is an isekai. But I don't think it... Well, I guess technically, he has traveled from one world to the other. But he did not die. So I think he was just like sucked into this new world, and it doesn't seem like he has any desire to go back to the regular world. He's very much made his life here. So I really enjoy that. He's kind of just this like, he wants to explore this new world and he loves cooking. I feel like he wanted to be a chef in his old life.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe you can help me understand them, because I've obviously been in this little blind spot, but what got him so interested in cooking?
Okay.
Did he just always enjoy this?
In season one, we find out, like, he has... I guess he watched a lot of cooking shows back in the real world. So, as he's going through... We meet Fel in the second episode of this anime. And I feel like you noticed, Fel is always hunting different monsters. So, that is their source of protein. And Makota's just trying to find ways to... cook it and make it better. And it feels like he's an encyclopedia of recipes. He never has to look anything up. He kind of just knows everything on the top of his head. In his past life, he was a businessman, though.
Okay, well, that makes sense, because I know there's lots of experiences where he has kind of like merchant-like qualities. And so you're talking about some of the things that he's doing, like with his shopping, or whether it's his, you know, the display of it all. He's very much selling as he goes, because I looked at a lot of the recipes and very high upselling when it comes to a lot of that. And he's always kind of talking up the recipe, but he uses such good detail that you would think he was truly involved with the people business. He's very sociable. He's very marketable. And there were lots of good aspects to him that really line up with the character that you're describing there.
Oh, yeah. He's just, I love that he's just kind of embraced everything. He said, like, well, we're going to just start cooking. I'm going to start. I don't know why he didn't want to open a restaurant at one point. It just seems like he's very content traveling. But I really feel like he should open up something. I don't know if you had this concern as I did after watching season one when it aired. I had the concern of like, whoa, everything is fried food. I mean, I love fried food, but I felt like, whoa, a lot of the stuff he makes is fried food.
No, a lot of it. I mean, maybe that's what makes it so marketable to the, you know, the Americans. We love our fried food over here. And so you just look at some of that and it almost makes you wonder if they're trying to really just appeal to us a lot more.
I mean, I was just like, whoa, everything is kind of fried. I don't know if they brought it up in season one or is it in season two. There is a, you know, like after the episode ends, they go into like, it's kind of like what Blue Lock did where they had the little chibi versions.
Little and
the,
chibi,
what was
yeah.
It? Yeah. They kind of do that at the end of each of these episodes. But one episode he did say like, oh, I know you think we're eating a lot of fried food, but we actually balance it out.
I think it's funny to note just that the recipes that he made, obviously he had a lot of depth to him. He had a lot of ingredients, had some vegetables. And, you know, first meeting Fel's like, where's the meat? I'm here for the meat. Like, put the meat on the table. He's like, you got to balance it. You got to have other things with it.
Oh, and then just the way he describes his cooking. I don't know if you, well, I don't know how much diving you've done into this anime, but Crunchyroll does have a full blog post on every meal they cooked in the show by episode and what the real world counterpart of it is.
Interesting.
So all the meals he cooks, they are, he does say what they are based off of, but if you go to Crunchyroll, and I'll try to tag this in the notes of the show, there are, like, they'll be like, this is what it's supposed to be in this world. And it's really cool seeing, like, how he's adapted things. And I'm kind of glad you watched season two, because season one's great and all, but season two, when we get the other gods, because in the first season, it's Oni Ninrir. And then in season two, we get all, like, the whole cast of god characters. And it's this recurring joke, I feel like, in the show that he never sends his blessings on time. He's always late, like, extremely late sending his blessings. And just to, like, his interaction with the gods is one of my favorite parts of the show.
I mean, how needy and greedy they are. And he's just like, ugh, like, children, relax.
I do. That's like one of the best parts of it. Their gods, Finrir is like this legendary monster creature. And he treats them like, kind of like they're just normal people. He's like, you wait your turn and you'll get what you get. I'm only one person. Everyone needs to take turns. And you have to listen to me. I love when, what was it? The god of blacksmithing and then the god of war. Like, he's like, I don't want any blessings. And they're like, well, we're going to bless him while he's sleeping so he can level up faster.
The more he levels up, the more blessings they get in return.
Yeah, because it's revealed that if every time he levels up, he accesses more online shopping section so he can get more niche items. I guess more liquor for them. They love drinking those
That's what they begged for with the next level of it. You have to open this store.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And I also, another thing I really love about Makoto is that he's very mindful of not, like, causing too much trouble. He doesn't want to be known. He doesn't want people to, like, ask too many questions from him. He doesn't bring this up in season two. So in season one, we find out that his skills are, he has an item box, he can online grocery shop, and he has appraisal, which appraisal is a skill only given to people from another world who have come here. So it's, I guess it's known that people come here from another world, but he doesn't want people thinking that he is from somewhere else.
You know, I thought that was interesting because, you know, only having watched season two somehow, there was a nice part of it where he's in this village for so long and he really, like, he enjoys the people in it. He enjoys what he's doing, but then he starts to work with this blacksmith in town and the blacksmith kind of says, oh yeah, you're the talk of the town. Like, everybody knows about you. And he's like, oh, I didn't realize that. And his first thought was, instead of embracing it, he's just like, well, we need to move on somewhere. And they're like, what, why? Like, we like it here. He's like, well, because he said, we're starting to get a lot of attention. And he said, that's not fair to the guild. So we just need to move on. So kind of really sticks with that kind of quiet personal life he was keeping there and really keeping it on the down low.
Oh, yeah, because so we find out in season one when he gets there that I guess the kingdom that he originally arrives in, it seems like it's kind of corrupt. Like the royal family has kind of has this iron hold on the town. So he, in his mind, he's like, well, if people find out that I have online grocery shopping, which is basically getting the best items, it's like getting future items to your, to the past. And he's like, people are gonna like, imprison me and force me to like shop these items. So he's always on the like lookout, be like, we gotta stay low. Once people start like really paying attention to us, we gotta leave. But I mean, having Fel makes it very difficult to.
I was gonna say, which is kind of the opposite of Fel's persona. He's very. Everybody will know me. Everybody will see me. I'm not hiding who I am. I'm just this giant wolf.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other things you have about Makoto you want to talk to, or should we just dive into Fel?
No, I think it's just important to kind of note how good of a person he is. I mean, you look at every little interaction he had with everybody, it was always positive. He's not seeking to get a one-up on anybody. He's just genuinely a good, down-to-earth person. He wants to do right by everybody.
Oh, yeah, especially, well, again, now that you've seen season two, the episode with the children, that was kind of one of my favorite episodes that season. Where
that warmed my heart so much, so.
There are these kids, and their mom is extremely sick. So Makoto, what does he get? Oh, because of Sui's potions.
Yes, this elixir. So he first tries to make those enchanted potions, but Fel just said back there, he's like, that'll never work for illness. You need to make an elixir. And the only thing he knew that could help make an elixir was, you know, dragon's blood. And so he asked Sui and talked to him about, because that giant dragon. he had Sui, and Sui just kind of becomes this master craftsman. I mean, becomes this amazing blacksmith, becomes a apothecary, like can just do all kinds of amazing things like that.
Oh, yeah. And I love that at the end of the episode, he doesn't want to just be like, here is the elixir, or here is this thing. He really gives the kids a chance to like feel like they've earned it. Because he trades, what are they? They hunt a rock bird or something?
They had that orc.
Oh, the orc. Yeah, they killed the orc. And he says, well, this elixir costs one orc. And
yeah, that kind of worried me for a second because he's like, well, you know, I am a merchant. I can't give anything free. And I was like,
oh, were you worried that Makoto's going to take advantage of his children?
I was like, Makoto, you're not this person. And then he's like, that'll cost you one orc. And I was like, oh, phew.
He's like, I need 100 coins. Children. I do wish we could have seen like their mom wake up. I assume she did. I assume
The chibi part at the end of the episode is where it happened. Yeah. So on that one, she, they're like, mother, like we got you some medicine. And they gave her the elixir and she kind of, wow, I feel so much better. And she's just like talking to them and just, oh, I'm so thankful. Thank you so much. They're like, we worked so hard, mom. We got this for you. Now you'll be all better. And she's like, well, I could use something to eat. And then they bring out that soup that he made. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, it's delicious. And it's just like all smiles and laughs. And I was like, oh, that's very heartwarming. Like, that's what I needed right there.
I also love that the food, like food from our world to them, buffs them. It's buffs for all the characters there. Because Makoto can use appraisal on people. So he sees when people eat world like our world's food, it gives them like strength buffs or like mana buffs.
Yeah.
Which I really love. Like you're saying, Makoto's just like a really great guy. There, I've never seen him. What I've experienced, he hasn't done anything wrong to anyone. He's just very nice and very, I don't know. He only takes what he needs kind of thing. We see a lot where he freaks out about how much he gets paid for things.
And yeah, there were a couple, like, I know with that episode, it just reminded me when they're like, oh, thank you, uncle. And it's just like a shot to the heart for him. He's like, have I really become so ancient?
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I feel Makoto on that. I just think old. I don't know.
Especially like how we have it now when everyone's calling people unk and you're just like, oh, I don't want to be unk yet.
It hurts. But I mean, I guess we'll move on to our next character. Speaking about uncles, we got Uncle Fel.
Uncle Fel.
Yeah. So I love the pairing of Makoto and Fel. I feel like Fel has lived his life on top of the food chain everywhere, and Fel acts so posh and just like, I am the king, I am better than all of you, no one is beneath me. And then comes Makoto, and Makoto's just like, I'm gonna humble you, Fel. you now, like, it's not like you work for me. It's kind of like we are a team now and we need to treat everyone with respect. And, you know, like everyone needs to wait for food and you can't just eat first.
You know, honestly, kind of watching, I need to definitely go back and see who Fel was before, but looking where he's at now, there's so many of those moments still where Fel's like, I need all of the meat right now. He's like, you're going to have your fair share. He said, but we have to be patient. He's like, ugh, fine. Like, I'll be patient, but it better be good. And then every single time he makes a delicious thing, he's like, wow, he said it looks amazing. And like, he's just this giant, like giant wolf. But then every time they're like looking at food shopping, talking about food, wherever it is, he just gets right up beside him and has like these little like blush marks on his cheeks. And he's just like a happy, excited little puppy.
Oh, you definitely need to go back and watch when Fel first got Wagyu beef. I think it was a night they did something and they were going to celebrate. And Makoto decided to order Wagyu beef, which is very delicious beef. If you guys have, it's pricey, everyone, but I recommend trying it at least once.
Yeah,
in your
don't
life.
Go for the Arby's version of it. You're never going to enjoy the Wagyu the way it needs
Wait,
to be enjoyed.
Does Arby's have Wagyu beef?
They've tried a hamburger of it before, and I was like, oh, it's my first time getting to try it. And I was like, this is not how it's supposed to be.
Oh, now I need, I wonder if it's still around. I want to try this Wagyu beef Arby's burger.
This knockoff Wagyu.
Oh, man. But yeah, when Fel first gets Wagyu, it sends him into not like a monstrous rage, but he's like, I need to hunt now. And he goes out and hunts, and it's overnight, so Makoto falls asleep. And when Makoto wakes up, there's a giant pile of monsters that Fel's hunted overnight. And it's just because the Wagyu beef has buffed him so much. So that's why when we see, from that point on, Makoto's been like, we can't have Wagyu, only on very special occasions. Can we eat this meat?
When he had a line in season two where he told him, he said, don't make your favorite meals go extinct. And so I thought that was pretty neat to tell him, because it's like, obviously he would definitely overhunt. He would go crazy about it, but he says, don't make your favorite meals go extinct.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just, gosh, I'm trying to think of some. Fel, okay, normally a character like Fel, I would be, I mean, everyone, Fel, Sui, Dora, like, they're all overpowered characters.
Oh, yeah.
But in an anime where I feel like the action part of the anime is the cooking. The cooking is where, like, the action scenes happen. Yeah. And so in that sense, I'm like, hey, you know what? Mow through all these monsters in a minute. Like, when they go through the orc camp in season two, when they're like, there's a camp of orcs that they have to fight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like once they bring the other adventurers along, and it's just like Fel and Sui can handle, or Dora can handle all this. And it took them a few minutes. They were like, that would have taken us a day.
See, honestly, I think of him like Ginyu from Solo Leveling. Like, that's how strong these characters are in this little universe. These three can, like, completely wipe out a horde of whatever, like, whatever enemy they see in front of them. And honestly, they're on-the-fly thinking and they're strategizing. You wouldn't think these characters would work well together. Like, they're all kind of independent bosses. But honestly, there was one fight where they were fighting this kind of, I think it's called a behemoth in there. It looks like a giant rhino. And first, Fel's trying to make his moves at it. He's like, there's something about this. Like, ooh, he said, Sui, like, you know, acid, put your acid on it. So then they realize quickly, they can shoot some acid onto this guy. They kind of weaken him. And then you had Dora, which was able to kind of singe it, burn it a little bit. And then Fel's able to kind of deliver some strikes through it. So honestly, they're on the fly thinking, and their teamwork was really great. And when you think of that all stemming from just wanting the same foods and one of these delicious meals, that makes it so much more funny.
Oh, that was the final boss of the dungeon, right?
Yeah.
That they're going through? Yes. Oh, man. I also love that Fel could just go through the day killing all these monsters and just being like, here's the meat, Makoto, cook it. But he really wants Makoto to become, I don't know, self-sufficient or like more skilled fighter. Because he's always like, we need to go to a dungeon. You need to train. We need to do this. Yep. You need to like use your skills.
I think there was one part in there where, they were talking about after that big dungeon, kind of their growth. And You know, Fel was like, oh, I've leveled up quite a bit. He's, you know, I'm over 10,000 in attack and defense or whatever it is. And then even Dora's like, oh, I leveled up a ton too. Look, I'm faster than ever. And he's like, well, Sui, it's okay. Like, you probably won't level up a lot. He said, but, you know, you're getting better. And he looks at it. His level one all up to like 66 or something. He's like, you've like tripled your level. And he's like, well, surely I have leveled up too. And he goes in there. There's that one plus one.
Oh, man. I mean, just to talk a little about Makoto again, sorry, but like, I definitely feel like I relate to Makoto. Even if someone was like, you have a shield, you cannot get hurt, and I'd still go to dungeon, I would still act like I could get hurt. I'd be hiding behind things. So I was like, oh man, them going through the dungeon was so hilarious. I loved it. But yeah, Fel is just such an overpowered character, but such a funny, loving character. I love how he takes care of Sui, how he's very, I don't know, he's not protective of Sui. Well, he's protective of Sui, but, you know, he's still, I guess he's the uncle. He's Uncle Fel.
You know, he kind of reminds me of if you've ever seen the movie Storks, there's little like wolves, and it's like, oh, this little human child, I'm going to devour this child. And it's like, oh, I love this child. Like, we got to protect this child. Like, I agree. Like, that's Uncle Phil to me. He's just got this, like, innate personality to him. He's just so lovable, so enjoyable. But he's also just looks terrifying. He looks menacing. But just so sweet and so lovable.
Oh, and I also love that he's not above manipulation of Makoto. Anytime Fel wants to do anything, he's like, Sui, don't you want to do this too?
And Sui has such a soft spot in Makoto's heart. He's like, oh, come on, kid. Like, if that's what you want to do, we'll do it. And so he uses Sui so much like that because he knows that he always gets his way.
Yeah, there will be those moments where Fel will be like, oh, we should do this. And Makoto's like, no, we can't do that. Then Sui's like, I want to shoot monsters. He's like, yeah, I want to pew pew. He's like, okay, Sui, we can go. Oh, man. Well, gosh, I'm trying to think of other... Fel's has so many. Fel is so cool. I love the action that Fel brings. The lightning strikes, the movement. It's a fun ride with Fel.
Yeah, and see, like, loving action anime is how I do. I feel like Fel was needed for me on this one, and without him, I don't know where the action would have been so much. I mean, Sui obviously has some cool action spots, but Fel was really like the bulk of it. If you try to put Makoto in there instead, and just, oh, there'd be no action. Like, obviously, like you said, you know, the cooking is kind of the action point of it, but I need to see some fights. And Fel was ready to bring on every single fight that I needed in this show, and I appreciated that.
Like, when I think about having Fel, like, Makoto and Fel being teamed up in the very beginning of this anime, it's like, whenever you play Pokemon, I don't know if you do this when you play Pokemon, but I did this when I was a kid, is where I over-level my Pokemon in, like, Route 2 or whatever. So if I have a Bulbasaur, it's by the time I get to the first gym, it's like, here's my Venusaur. Yeah. And I'm just mowing, like, going through everything. I'm still enjoying the game. It's still a lot of fun for me, but I'm just like,
but you have that good strong fallback in case something goes crazy.
Yeah, so I feel that's how Fel is in this. You know, we're still enjoying the ride, but, you know, Fel, we bring out Fel when we're just like, I don't have time. I need to do something real quick, but I need to get past this gym right away.
Handle this for me.
Yeah. Well, I think that brings us to another character that is a lot of fun, too, is Sui. Sui, our little slime ball.
I feel like Sui was just the most adorable little thing, and just the excitement that they had with every single little action. Oh, it's so adorable. And you just look at, like, he talked about, like, the shooting thing, and anytime Sui wanted to fight, Sui's like, oh, like, Sui wanted to pew-pew more monsters. Just made it so lovable. My little one was watching this with me a little bit, and she was obsessed with Sui. She's like, oh my gosh, it's so cute. I want one.
Oh, yeah. I feel like who doesn't want a pet slime? I feel like slime.
Pet slime, it's also like a master blacksmith, can make you any potion and elixir and mix any ingredients for you.
And is basically a vehicle. When Sui gets extremely large and you can just like float on Sui. I love when they're doing the Kraken fight, or they're fighting the giant squid.
Yeah, the very last episode, season 2. I just watched that one.
Yeah, and then Sui is just so sweet and innocent. when Sui's like, I didn't get to kill a monster.
And then that's okay, buddy. You'll get a chance next time.
And then that giant sea monster comes up, and Sui's like, those are my friends.
Oh, I love Sui.
Oh, Sui is great. And again, another character where I normally would be upset about this kind of character. A character that can basically do anything. I don't know. Normally in an anime, that would upset me. But like now that I'm thinking about it in Pokemon terms again, Sui is like my Bidoof.
Your HM slave.
Yeah, my HMs. Yeah, where I just like, because like, Sui is your blacksmith now. Sui is your potion maker now. And I don't know if they do it a lot in season two, but Sui does eat all the garbage. Like all the plastic and the containers of food stuff come in. Sui does that. And Sui also can clean the dishes.
That's awesome.
So Sui is just, I don't know. Sui is just so much fun. It's just, I love how, man, I'm trying to think about if it happened in season two. Do people get grossed out by Sui in season two?
Not as much. They seem to kind of just accept for what it is.
Because there are scenes where Makoto will go into a new town in season one, and then, oh, he is updating his hunter's license, his hunter's guild's license, and he's like, oh, I have a new familiar, and it's Sui. And he pulls out Sui from his bag, and he, like, puts in front of the girl. He's like, I have this adorable slime. And everyone's like, ugh, that guy carries around a slime with him. And he's like, don't listen to them, Sui. But
you know you're perfect.
Sui is the greatest and just as fun. Well, when everyone's comic relief, it's kind of like, again, another character in a normal anime that would annoy me. Just like when you have that little kid in your group for no reason. When you're playing, like, when you're in an anime or you're playing an RPG, and it's just like, your team is all warriors. And it's like, well, we found this child that now is going to follow us along for some reason. And it's just like, why? That's how Sui feels. But in this instance, I'm like, I love this. I love having the child with me.
Just so overpowered and everything.
Oh, I mean, like, everyone but Makoto is just so overpowered in this show. And I guess that will bring us to our last member of this party, Dora. And oh man, when he shows up, I'm just like, I really didn't want another party member with us, but this is too good. He's too good.
Yeah, just comes flying in out of nowhere and just like lands flat on his face. He freaks out. He's like, what is this thing? And he's like, well, I smell some delicious food.
So we meet him in the forest because there's a whole bunch of like, tarantulas or giant spiders that attack them. And we find out the only reason the spiders were attacking is because Dora was like upset them or disturbed them or his presence there made them agitated. So the spiders did nothing wrong, but they had to honor them by eating the delicious meat.
I don't know. They existed. That was enough for me.
I also was like, oh, wait, so spider meat turns into crab, is the equivalent of crab meat in our world?
Yeah, because here you would think it'd be so gamey, like nobody would eat something like that.
Yeah. Oh, wait, have you ever eaten spider?
Oh, God, I hope not.
I know, this is a weird question, but I have eaten a tarantula.
Really?
Yeah, this is a little side story, but one year I was at San Diego for Comic-Con, and I don't know if you remember this movie. There was a movie called Box Trolls.
Yeah.
They had a box troll food truck. And I guess in that movie, they eat insects. So the food truck was just insects. And it was like crickets and cockroaches and like a fried spider. So I was really hungry and I didn't have any cash on me, but the food truck was free. And I was like, well, what is the biggest item that I can get from this food truck? And it was a fried tarantula. So I ended up eating a fried tarantula. Not as bad as you would think, but not as delicious as... It's not as delicious, I guess. I don't know if you thought it was delicious. It was not.
And you said they had it fried?
Yeah, they like tempura fried it.
Okay.
So...
Interesting.
It did not taste like crab meat. It wasn't the most delicious crab meat as they made in this show. I love that... Another thing about Dora that I liked is that... oh my gosh, I can't remember the guild leader's name. the elf guy. Gosh, what is his name? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When he's obsessed with dragons and he meets Dora, he's like, oh, here's a tree branch because I know you guys only rest on these branches. And Dora just sits down on the couch. And he's like, I know you only drink this nectar. He's like, we don't drink that nectar.
That's what I thought was funny, too, when, like, you know, you have little Dora, which is, like, just this little tiny pixie dragon, and the first time they're enjoying that dragon meat, and, like, he's just loving it, and he's like, wait a second, like, isn't this cannibalism for you? He's like, no. He said, like, only if it was another pixie dragon, it'd be cannibalism. He said, but these big, earthy land dragons, he said, no.
Oh, I think his name's Elland. Elland?
Yeah, I think they called him, like, Willem and Sum. That's one of the parts I saw, but I also could have just been reading the subtitles for parts.
Oh, you watched it subbed?
I did on some of them. I started watching. I was like, wait a second. This is sub now. Let me go back. Instead of making you wait like 3 weeks extra for each dubbed episode.
I know. My hero was always rough because I can't wait for the dub to come out. So I just plow through the subbed.
See, and I used to be like adamant that I had to watch dubbed like in all the shows. But then I was like, you know what? I'm tired of waiting. So then I started to really learn to love subbed.
It's jarring, though, when you watch dub and then you switch to sub. Like, the voices are so different.
It's like, what is going on?
You're like, oh, wait, the vibe is so different.
It comes not Midoriya.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, like, I don't know, though. I do think they nailed Mineta. The vibes of Mineta, subbed and dubbed, I feel like are there.
Absolutely.
But I love Dora. I love that. I love the scene where they're like, wait, you're eating dragon? Isn't that kind of like cannibalism? A dragon eating dragon? It's like, we're two totally different types of dragons.
Don't lump me in with them.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just fun. Again, he was already powered up before he got he gets a blessing from the gods too. So I just think he's just another fun guy to have around. And everyone basically is comic relief in this show.
Yes. It's so spunky.
I don't know. Is there anything else you think about Dora? Or should we move on to the gods?
I think we can move on to the gods.
Okay. So I only had one god on my thing because we only had one in season one. But I really love all, what is it, six of them now?
I think so. I think there were four girls, two guys.
Yeah. I love... Gosh, now I'm thinking, did you meet the other gods, like the other three girls in season two? Like, is that where they first were introduced or were they already there?
They were there in season two for me. So I wasn't sure if they already existed before or if they just popped
in. We might have met them at the end of season one. Because originally, Fel is blessed by Ninrir. I guess she's the goddess of wind. And that's the guy who blessed Fel at the very, like, since he's been around. So that's why he's kind of overpowered, because he has a god's blessing. And basically he tells Makota, like, hey, if you want a god's blessing, maybe if you ask, maybe she'll give you one. And of course she wants to, like, give him a blessing, so he'll give her cake as offerings and stuff from the online shop. Later in season one, we do meet three other goddesses. My favorite moment of them is they're all trying to bless Makota. The water goddess. She's like, oh, I can't bless you because you have no affinity to water magic. And she starts crying. And then the other goddess is like, please don't cry. And they start yelling at Makota. They're like, how dare you do something? And he's like, I can't. What do you want me to do? But she ends up blessing Sui. And that's how Sui becomes overpowered. Because he gets the water goddess's full blessing. Makota only has half blessings from all these gods.
But they overlap just enough to like keep him safe and keep him
endangered. I love that part where Ninrir is like, oh, it turns out to all your little blessings equal one regular blessing.
I think that's when he wanted to open that that poison chest. And he's like, oh, I don't know. Because first he saw a chest. He's like, oh, I'm going to open it. And then that's when Fel was like, hold on. Like, use your skills. He's like, oh, this has poison.
Oh, man. I don't know if you ever... Have you ever played any D&D?
I have not. I've never had a group around me to do it.
Oh, maybe next time I visit, we'll host a campaign. I know Miguel's really into D&D, so I'm sure we can get some one-shot groups
work
together.
Work me into it.
But in D&D, there's these monsters called Mimics, and they look like items. Usually they're chests, like in this show. And have you watched Free Rend?
I have not.
Oh, I recommend Free Rend. I recommend you watch it, and no matter what you think, and I'm not worried because Miguel listens to these episodes way behind. So he's not listening to this one yet. Watch Free Rend, even if you like it, don't like it, be like, tell Miguel, oh, I didn't like that show, and that'll be your revenge for Fire Force. But
I'll see. Oh, what is this awful show he made me listen to?
I told him I wasn't hooked into it from the first episode, and he got very upset with me. So, yeah, but there are these chests, and they're called Mimics. They're in the anime Free Rend, and they're here. And I know that's how I would die in this world, opening a chest, because, of course, I want the gold or see what's inside, though.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm greedy, but definitely in, like, my Dark Souls days, go and open these chests, and they somehow, like, devour you. I'm like, oh, that's should have seen that one coming.
I mean, I feel like I blame Pokemon. Pokemon trained us to go through every trash can, to bust into anyone's house, look through all drawers.
You take
open
whatever
every
you
door.
Find is yours.
Yeah, Pokemon trained you like there
you
might
find a Pokemon
be a
Pokemon on that table. Yeah. It's yours now.
There might be something for you. You got to dig through everything, and that's trained us to just open all items.
And now it backfires.
I love how these gods are so. Greedy. Not greedy. I don't know. Is it greedy? Well, I mean, of course it's
I think
greedy.
They definitely have some good greedy aspects to them.
How they're like, you need to send us more, or you're late with your offering. How dare you? They never, like, we're taking back our blessings, because they know as soon as they take back those blessings,
well, it's funny because,
no,
you know, now that I think about that, there was this part toward the end of it, and they're all like, you know, we need it now. We need this. He's like, now hold on. That's way too much. And then they're like, no, like, you owe us. He said, you know what? He said, I'm going to get my blessings back and you'll never get any more offerings. They're like, maybe we were rude. I'm sorry. And like, even like the God of War, who's like so rash. He's like, I'm sorry. And so then he's like, okay, let's talk about this. And they're like, well, you've been making what, 5 times the amount. He said, I'm not going to get a number on it, but maybe 5 times the amount. So he said, how's about you double? So then he gives them all an allowance of like 6 silver coins.
That's what happened in this season. Because normally it like season one was just kind of he was buying whatever and just giving it to them. And now I love that he's just like budgeted them. Yeah. And it's also cool seeing them have to look at the screen. Like
he's like, okay, shop through, look at all of it, pick what you want.
Oh man, these gods are so hilarious. I love how, like we were saying, like the two. The God of War and the God of Blacksmithing blessed him while he was sleeping.
Just so they could also get these offerings.
Oh, I love that when he wakes up, he's like, oh, I feel different, but I don't know what's happened. So, oh, I have a question for you. When you're watching it sub, because you watched some of the episodes sub, does it translate what's on the screen?
Loosely. I mean, it's most of the time it does give you a pretty good translation, but there were a couple that once I went back and kind of rewatched and dubbed and caught a little bit thing, like they were a little bit different, but most of the time it just kind of goes on, you know, the interpretation of it. And sometimes our words are a little interpreted differently, but for the most part, it was all English subs is how I usually do it.
Yeah, because sometimes, well, like when he's shopping or like written items, it won't tell you what they are.
No, like on the screens, there's still like all the Japanese characters. Like, I don't know what they are half the time, but I'm looking at some of these pictures and then he's like, oh, they have this. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that's what that was. Like when he first got those two new shops, you know, I could just see like desserts and there's like a savory menu, but he's like, ooh, the sweet shop. And I was like, okay, I probably figured that one out. But I think he had like specific names for most of these little shops that he's picking online.
Yeah. And one of my, just like talking about his online shopping, one of my favorite parts is that I love when he buys stuff and then he has to, when he decides like, this is an item I'm going to sell to like the merchants to make some gold coins. And he has to repackage all the items. There's a, I don't know, is this, there's, maybe it's in season one. I know in season two, when he's like marinating the squid, he doesn't just bring the bottles of marinade. He pours all the bottles into like a barrel and brings the barrel over. So no one knows, but I know in season one, he sells conditioner and shampoo and bars of soap, which are luxury items in this world. But I mean, all of us have bought shampoo probably in our lives. It does not come in. It comes in a pretty modern bottle. So there's a part where he's like pouring all the shampoo into like potion looking bottles to sell so that no one knows. He's unwrapping all the soaps and putting them in different bags. So no one, even though the soap bars have like these imprints on them. So that's just another thing I really love. These gods are funny though. I love, and it's another, for them, it's a great character that just kind of pops in and out. Like if they were there the whole episode, it'd probably get annoying, but just cause they come in for a little bit of an episode. And then there's sometimes where we don't see them for two or three episodes, or we see them at the end complaining about like, well, and Makota's sleeping. It happens a lot where Makota's sleeping. He's like, I think I forgot something, but I can't remember.
And then the gods are like, it's our offerings. He's like, yeah. Oh yeah. The kids, I forgot to bring them sweets. Like,
oh yeah. And just like how the gods overtalk each other all the time. They're always talking over each other. It's just, oh, they're so funny. And I don't know. Do you want more gods? Do you think we need more of them? Or do you think this group of six
is good? As high strung as they are and how they're go, 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 I feel like six is what we need. Like, you don't want more of those. Well, unless you have four, a level headed one who's going to keep them in order. Like,
I thought four was the max on that plane of existence. And then suddenly, like, these two kind of roll up out of nowhere. They're like, hey, what's going on over there?
I want to be a part of this.
So I don't know. I don't know what more blessings we can get, but right. I mean, poor Makota is going to be chock full of blessings by the end of
eventually
his time.
Eventually, he'll have two whole ones.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I don't know. Are there any favorite moments you have that we haven't gotten to talk over yet?
Yeah, there were honestly a couple for me. So I looked at, obviously, his frugalness would crack me up. And so there were some parts to it where, you know, there was like one gold coin for a piece of meat. He's like, that is steep. And so the first time I'm watching, I'm thinking, like, well, one doesn't sound bad. But then I realized everything else, you know, they're sold in like silvers and coppers, things like that. So I was like, okay, maybe gold's pretty good. But he's like, I mean, I'll do it. But he's like, gosh, that's steep. And then someone's like, ooh, you got to have this magic stove. He's like, how much is that? And they're like, 860 gold coins. He's like, what? And then Fel's like, oh, no. Go on, buy it. Like, you'll be able to prepare more meals for me using it. And so he's like, okay. And so I'm just like thinking, as much money as that is, like, holy cow, all on this magic stove.
Oh, yeah. I think in the first season, there's an episode where Makota wants to get like a portable little burner. And the guy's like, oh, this is 80 gold. And Koba starts freaking out. Though, I don't know. Do they sell stoves on online grocery shopping? Because he did buy a portable burner through the online grocery shopping.
You know, I want to say he talked about something on there, but he said something about it wouldn't cook well enough for him, or he didn't think it would get up to heat. He said, like, this magic one can get much hotter than a normal stove. So he had to have that magic one.
I wonder, there was a time where they were getting low, right? On gold?
Yeah.
Because in season one, it felt like it was endless amounts. Because Fel would hunt 1,000 things and they would go and it would just be like sacks of gold be given to them.
Yeah, because I remember like there multiple times where he got like, oh, here's a couple thousands or something. And he's like, why like that much for the dungeon? They're like, yeah, I mean, you completed it. Or when he's getting toward the end, he finds all those gems and they're like, hey, you know, by the way, you left all this in the jewelry box. Like, I thought it was empty. And they're like, no, there's like a lot of gems. And I think he ended up selling those for 9,000 something.
I also think like in season one, the first thing Makota sells is salt and pepper that he's ordered from the online grocery. And he ends up selling a bag of salt and some pepper for 17 gold. And it cost him 3 coppers. So in my mind, I'm always like, he's basically got an endless supply of money.
Oh, yeah. He'd do that anytime he wanted.
So I don't know, just but again, that is like me though. I don't know if you ever go shopping and you're like, you look at a price of something, but it's not too outrageous, but you're like, oh my God, this box of cereal is $8 or whatever. And you're like, that's outrageous, but I mean, you can afford it, but it's still like, I'm not going to pay for this.
Then it's like, I'll blow $20 at the gas station and snacks.
Yeah, you're just like, what? I don't know. I've had that moment a lot where it's like, this item's not a thousand. I don't know what I'm looking at. This is $1,000. But it's just like, oh, I could afford this, but it's still outrageous to me that you charge this much.
Right. I'm still going to do it, but let me complain.
Yeah, I'm still going to buy your stove. I got to make this dog happy over here.
I think the only other big moment that kind of stood out to me was, you know, one of those big, like, bug fight scenes. And so Fel used this big old lightning strike attack and just like fried them all. And the dragon's like, hey, come on. I wanted to kill some too. And then Sui in this little tiny voice says, that's not nice, Uncle Fel. Like,
oh, was that in the dungeon? When they first go into the dungeon?
Yeah, it's like when they had like the open world landing kind of version of it. Like once they got, 20 floors down, I think it looked a little foresty again.
Oh, and then Makoto was like, we have to take turns. We'll take turns killing monsters. It's great that it's Makoto and his three kids, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, you need to share. We need to take turns with each other. Everyone gets to kill a monster on this trip.
And then poor Sui just wants to pew-pew everything.
I think Sui's attacks are the most interesting to me. Because Sui can like break down some little, it looks like little BB gun nozzles coming out of Sui, just shooting everywhere, or just turning into a giant glob. Does it happen in season two where Sui makes a whole bunch of small Suis to carry all the dead bodies and put them into the Makota's item box?
I don't know if I saw any of that.
Because Sui can turn into small, like, Sui can become smaller Suis, and they can do whatever labor that needs to be done, and then Sui will reabsorb it to one bigger person.
Interesting.
For me, I guess some of my favorite moments, that's tough. I mean, I love all the cooking. I love how it's just kind of, it's the best cooking vlog, anime style. I don't know if this could ever happen, but I would love a crossover of Campfire Cooking and Delicious in Dungeon. I want those two shows to like cross over each other.
I think honestly, I loved how just easy to follow the recipes were and how they really gave you like true cooking stances throughout it. Like he's talking about how, oh, you know, we're doing this, I think they were frying or something, but it was like toward the end when they had the grill is what it was. He said, you know, you have a grill. He's here. He said, you can't just leave it on there. You can't speed cook it. You can't char it. He said, you really have to slow burn. He said, you really want to limit how much you're touching it. You know, one good flip. And so just very practical. And if honestly, if you're learning to cook, you can learn a lot of good skills from him. Because he even talked about like the slices of onion. He said, cook them on both sides. That way they get a little bit of sweetness to them. It's softer. It's easier for the kids to eat. I'm just like, huh, there's actually a lot of really good cooking advice throughout the show, too.
Did they make dumplings in the season that you watched?
I don't know. I know there were a couple of ramen instances, but I don't know if I saw the dumplings.
There's a part where they're making dumplings, and Sui's like, I want to help. So you're putting the meat filling inside the dumpling wrapper, and he's like folding the dumpling wrapper up. And so he's like, I want to help. I want to make dumplings. And Sui is very bad at folding the dumplings together. So at the end, when they're done, you see all these like perfectly wrapped dumplings, this pile like of these weird shaped dumplings. And those are Sui's that Sui's made. And it's just, this show is great because, I mean, it's fantasy, of course. But there are times where Makoto's like, well, we're running out of meat. So, or we're running out of food. We're running out of stuff. So we're going to kind of just do like a mix match of meat today, or a stir fry with this and this, because we got to use our leftovers. And I love that sauce made in one episode will come back and it's like, well, we still have leftover sauce that we got to use. We can't waste anything.
Honestly, those little details were so good because you don't, a lot of anime, they'd take more pride in the action of it, but thinking about this one not being so much an action anime, they honestly put a lot of details into the little things. And that would have gone unnoticed. Like, I wouldn't even have thought about the sauce how you just said that, but it is true. Like, they go back and they reuse so much of it, and they really try to keep inventory. So, like, episode one, something might come back in episode four. Little moments like that you wouldn't think would be significant and all, but honestly, it just really goes to show, number one, how frugal he can be, but number two, it's just real life. You're not wasting all that food. You're not throwing it out every time. You're going to try to reuse what you have in the fridge most of the time, and it's kind of really nice to think about that and just see the little details of what they were doing there.
Oh, definitely. I love that he reuses the food. I love that where nothing's going to waste, even though in his item box, things say like frozen and tight. So they're infinitely fresh no matter what.
Right.
Like anything that goes in there stays that way because he's been carrying that dragon that they butcher finally in season two for almost half a season.
Oh, yeah.
He's half a season one and then he's finally like, and that chimera, he has that chimera with him. And you missed out for when he got it. Because anytime he goes to like a different guild and he's pulling out the meat, he kind of looks at the chimera. He's like, oh, we got to get rid of this somehow. He's like, what am I supposed to do with this? But are there any other moments you want to talk about before we get to our ratings?
I think those are my big ones there.
Well, like with every show, we give the anime a rating on our scale, Chef's Kiss being the best and Garbage Disposal being the worst. So, Seth, campfire cooking in another world with my absurd skill, what is your rating?
Honestly, it's kind of tough for me because with this being my first slice of life, I'm not really sure where my standard should be or like kind of where my starting mark is. And so I'm kind of torn between, I want to put it as satisfying, but also there's glimpses that you kind of brought up today. A lot of the details really made me think about the detail levels of it. And I'm close to mouthwatering. I mean, honestly, that halfway mark above it, we're probably looking at about a B minus, C plus, looking at that area. I think it's a solid, good meal. There's no real complaints about it. I mean, I think knowing now kind of what slice of life can bring, I think just the details of it honestly kind of brought it up a little bit. Because I probably, starting the show, I would have been thinking, I don't know, somewhere just a snack, like a little bit lower. But honestly, thinking about it, like, I enjoyed it. And I can honestly say it brought a lot of good smiles. It brought a lot of positivity. It's just able to sit there and just soak it in and enjoy it. There's still some good comedic moments to it, but it's just very wholesome.
Maybe season one will bump it up for you.
Yeah, I think so.
Figure out what's going on. You're like, oh, I know who these people are now.
Maybe that's Lambert how Phil came to be.
Lambert will help you. Lambert is a merchant we meet in season one. That was so stupidly funny. For me, it is a mouthwatering. I love this show. It's just such a fun watch. It's not like I have the urge to watch it when I'm just kind of chilling. And so that's why I can't really get it with a Chef's Kiss. It's not always on my mind. But this show comes out, it's been coming out every Tuesday. So every Tuesday when I get home from work, I'm like, gotta watch the new episode of Campfire Cooking. And another fun thing about this show is before we started, like I started doing the podcast, before this podcast was around, I was on an airplane and this, like, I downloaded a whole bunch of random animes to watch, and this one came up, and I started making a list of animes that I want to do for the podcast, and this one's at the top of my list, so I really enjoyed watching this. I enjoyed cooking. I love the characters are fun. I love a show where you can just, like, sit and relax and just enjoy the show and not really have to be, like, anxious about the next episode, like,
right?
Who's gonna survive, or what hero is gonna die next, or what are we gonna do? This is very just like, well, what food are they gonna cook next week? So it's just like a fun ride. I think if you like Delicious in Dungeon, but you're like, I don't want the fighting, this is the show for you. And that sounds bad, but like, this is a great just a non-sad slice of life. I think slices of life sometimes can be sad, but this one's just a fun ride to enjoy. So definitely mouth-watering for me.
You know, for all the parents out there, this is one that I can genuinely say, like, you know, my 8-year-old was sitting there with me and enjoying it. I didn't have to think about how crazy it was going to get, if there were going to be those little promiscuous scenes kind of popping up in some of these. Like, this is genuinely just a wholesome, nice slice of life that you can just enjoy with the whole family if you want to.
Oh yeah, we didn't have any like weirdo
I
characters.
mean, the gods and goddesses, they're a little dressed in fun ways, but not so much to where it was like the kid was like, oh no, like
Yeah, oh no. Does that happen sometimes?
I mean, there was a couple shows that I put on there and I was like, oh, close your eyes.
Not this scene.
No.
Well, those are just our opinions, but we would love to hear what y'all thought about both seasons. So please leave us a comment telling us your favorite moments. Who's your favorite familiar? You can find us at Anime Bento Pod, and you can find me at Jimsta2.
You can find me on Instagram at SethWareUpdate. And I think my goal this week, or at least sometime soon, I want to definitely try the recipe that you've put on here. I want to be able to share that picture with everybody. Just kind of look at how good that slow cooker honey teriyaki chicken's going to be. So definitely come and check it out.
And, well, if you're listening to this episode when it drops, we're almost in the new year, but in January, we are going to be launching the Anime Bento website. So just stay tuned. All of this fun recipes and all these fun stuff is going to be there. So just keep an eye out in January of 2026. And if you're listening in the future, then this is the past. And we've already done it. So go there.
Welcome.
Yes. Well, that's all for this week. So until sapla, that's all for this week. I don't know what's happening to me. Feels like a Miguel episode. I can't talk. That's all for this week's episode. Until next time, stay legendary.
Stay nerdy, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.